Armored Penguins. This is DJ Fighter, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So last week we didn't have a show because I was on spring break, and now I'm back. So I hope everyone had a great, wonderful, relaxing spring break, and if not, just a wonderful week. This week I will be talking about German Invasion and March of the Penguins, which happened over the past two Saturdays while we were gone. And I will also be talking about flow fighting. So German Invasion happened at Google on March 5th. That was a really fun event because it was basically AmpGuard and Belagarth mixed together, because what ended up happening was AmpGuard wanted to use the same space that we were using, and they were scheduled to use that space, and we ended up just combining events so that we could both use the space without conflict, and it turned out really great, actually. We played partially by AmpGuard rules and partially by Belagarth rules. AmpGuard would follow Reds could break shields, and also being able to shield bash people. You can't do that in AmpGuard normally. Belagarth followed the lightest touch rule, which means sufficient force isn't really a necessary thing for Belagarth, for anyone to follow, actually. So that was a pretty interesting event. It was also really, it was raining on and off throughout the event. So it was interesting to see, to actually experience what it's like actually being hit with weapons in the rain. And let me tell you, it does hurt a lot worse than it does normally. Everyone was soaking wet. It was cold, which also doesn't help to the pain factor, because when it gets cold out, it just, everything hurts more. It's kind of like when it's cold out, your bones ache more, especially if you have really crappy bones. Like, I know it's really cold when my knee starts to hurt because I have a really bad knee. So yeah, that was a German Invasion. We had a lot of people show up, and it was generally a really fun event. It was really cool because it was on Google campus, and Google has this special park for people who work there that only the people who work there can use. And that park has like a bocce ball field. They have a mini putt field. They have shuffleboards. They have an outdoor kitchen there, and their bathrooms are really nice. And they have a playground for any Google employee who happens to have bring their children to work. So their children has a spot to play. They have two soccer fields out there as well, and it's a really big park. So it was really nice. Though you can't bring your pets out there, it's understandable though. The fields are made out of AstroTurf, which was good because you didn't get all muddy. Also bad because it was slippery. So that was German Invasion, Saturday, March 5th. And then we had March of the Penguins on March 12th, coming back from break. March of the Penguins is the annual Armored Penguins event that happens every March. It's one of our biggest events other than the club opener at the beginning of the year, where it's just a icebreaker for people who may want to come out and try Belagarth, or try being in Armored Penguins, or just want to check it out. I haven't been to one yet, but I've heard that it's lots of fun, and the spring opener, or the school year opener icebreaker happens out on the softball fields, like March of the Penguins was supposed to happen on the softball fields. But this year, we got indoor space for March of the Penguins because it was raining really hard. Originally, we were going to play out on the softball fields, out on the dirt, in the mud, and we were going to deal with that. But then we miraculously got this indoor space at the Masonic Lodge in downtown San Rafael that was rented out for us by a Canadian production film company. So what happened was this Canadian production film company was doing a documentary on nerd culture, and they talked to us about it. And of course, we wouldn't turn down the offer, but we couldn't really do it on school campus. And so we were able to get indoor space and do it off campus, and it was really cool. It was a 4-man crew, and we also had a photographer present, and it was a really good because they didn't really get in the way of everything. Nothing drastic happened where equipment got broken or anything like that, which was good. The Masonic Lodge in downtown San Rafael it's a weird space because it's more long than it is wide. So it's like, it's really difficult to explain, but yeah, more long than it is wide. So it was kind of difficult to do lion fights because we were fighting on the wide side instead of the long side, which didn't really make any sense. But again, yeah, they were trying to make as much room as possible for other people who didn't want to do field fights or lion fights. And not everyone wants to, especially not in a space that is as small as the Masonic Lodge. For me, as a small fighter, I tend to avoid lion fights that get narrow because everyone scrunches up. And in a lion fight, you want to be in the front. You want to be in the front line. You don't want to be sticking in the back because none of the action happens in the back. You don't get to fight anyone if you're in the back unless your team is losing and everyone's dying quicker than they could kill other people. So that can get pretty dangerous. I joined in a couple line fights at some point during the day, and at one point I got hit in the chest really hard with the pommel of a red weapon, and it hit me straight in the sternum, and that honestly hurt a lot more than a kidney shot, because that's right where my heart is and where my lungs are, and I'm sure, and it was all kinds of bad. So I stepped out for the rest of the day, didn't do any field fights, which was kind of upsetting for me because I do like field fights. Those are fun, especially when you get to a point where you feel like you're getting really good and then you're going ham on the field by the end of the last few rounds of field fights, and people like watching that. People are cheering you on, and it's like, oh, that's so exciting. It's a really big ego boost for me. I don't know. I bet it is for other people as well. We had fighters from Southern California and from Utah, Nevada area come down for this day event. And it was really great to see that because these are people that we are really, like, people like Cord and Pip and Tink are really close with, and I've heard a lot about them, and they're really good fighters. So it was fun to see them out there, and it was fun to see the stories of these people in action. It's one thing to hear a story about one fighter being really awesome and doing all these cool flips and being really good at getting out of bad situations, and it's another thing to see that in person. So it was great to see these people, like Rotten, who's from Southern California and is a really, really close friend with Cord and Pip and Tank, come out and fight. And it was, oh my, it was, Rotten is really intense as a fighter. He goes in hard, and it doesn't matter if you're big or small, he's gonna go with you with the same force as he goes with anyone else. And that is a good thing because, you know, then you know that a fighter is consistent. That they approach fighting the same way, they have the same mentality with any fighter, is I'm gonna treat you the same as anyone else. And in a sport like Velogarth, where there's accusations of some people going soft on people smaller or going soft on women just because they're smaller or because they're women, you appreciate a person like Ryan who's going to go into fights the same way he does any other fight, and he's not going to pull shots or not hit as hard as he normally would just because you're smaller, just because you're a woman. And that was good to see. Ryan's a really great guy. He's really nice. And I had the opportunity to talk to him a little bit about what I wanted to be in Bellegarth in terms of like a monster race or something like that. He actually gave me a few ideas for my garb, which was much more than I ever expected. I expected him to laugh at me and be, "Oh, why do you want to be a fey? That's such a pinky thing." But he didn't, and he offered me some advice how are you planning to do your wings? What's your idea? And I told him, "Oh, I might embroider like wings onto the back of my shirt the way Shadow has it." And he just went, "You could do a thing where it's like fabric poking out from beneath your garb, and that could be like your wings. It could be like tulle or something like that." And it was really great to have Ryan give me some advice on what I should do with my garb and what I should do with my monster race as a whole. It was great talking to him about that. And then we had the twins come up for the event, the twins being Achilles and Hobbit. They're from the Utah, Nevada area, and they're, from all the talk I've heard of them, they're pretty intense fighters. They do all these really cool flips and rolls on the ground, and they're so good at fighting. They're really good at tag teaming. It was so much fun seeing these two people fight against each other and against other people, because they do these flips. It's like, it's so hard to explain because it happens so quick. You're like, you just think, what just happened? And I found myself thinking that the whole time I was watching Achilles and Hobbit fight. But yeah, MoTap, March of the Penguins was a good event. There was so much fighting and there was just a lot of camaraderie, which was good to see, because sometimes you get really used to seeing Bellegarth drama on Facebook or just general drama with people you hear secondhand from other realms and stuff, and you sometimes don't know how to make out other people, and it's upsetting when you hear of people who are, "Oh yeah, this person's a great fighter, but he kind of has, or they kind of have this attitude, yada yada yada." It almost makes you really nervous to go up to talk to people, which I experience on the daily, especially with fighters like Ryan and Achilles and Hobbit. It was really fun during field fights because at one point Achilles and Hobbit were in the same line, and at one point the enemy line had a hole in their line, and the twins, Achilles and Hobbit, they just went in, they exploited that hole, and they went ham. And after that fight was done, everyone just looked at each other and they just go, "That is what you call the twins." So yeah, the twins are that good, where they team up, they can tag team together, and they go in and they can go ham on a line and just be referred to as the twins in this really ominous kind of epic way. So yeah, that's what happened during the week. These events are pretty fun. It was also great to have the film crew come film us the second time in 3-4 years that has happened for Bellegarth, but like Armored Penguins, because Cord and Pip were in another documentary when Cord was a sophomore and Pip was a freshman. So, yeah. It's about time for our break, so you're listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Hello everyone, welcome back from break. This is DJ Fighter. You're listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Just a couple notes before I continue on with the rest of the show. I am ending the show a little early tonight, unfortunately, because of a live broadcast happening in Angelico Hall. Tonight, it is the big history event that's happening, so there will be a live broadcast here on Penguin Radio. I also wanted to remind everyone that Armored Penguins holds practices every Fridays 2 to 5 p.m. and every Sundays from 12 to 5 p.m. out on the library lawn. So if you want to come check that out, please come hang out, pick up a weapon, learn how to fight. It's really fun, and I promise it's not as intimidating as you think it is. So the last segment, I talked about German invasion and March of the Penguins that happened the last two Saturdays over break. Today I actually wanted to get talking about Florentine fighting, or FLO for short. So Florentine fighting is a fighting style which involves the use of two swords. Bellegarth Florentine is a lot different than it is from medieval Florentine in that Bellegarth Florentine incorporates the use of two swords of even length, usually. and medieval Florentine uses a long sword and a shorter sword, or more typically a dagger. So that's the difference. That's the main differences between Balagarth Florentine and medieval Florentine. Normally a flow fighter who uses two long swords, but there are people who will use short swords or little bats, and that's usually just for funsies. It's just for giggles, not really being serious, not really for any other purpose than just to have fun. Sometimes there are fighters who will use short bats in order to learn how to close on a person, and that's one technique you can use. Although there are definitely people out there who do a really good job of not dying fighting Flo with two little short swords or bats. Typically what happens if you use a short sword or a short bat, you die because you don't have range, and range is really important, especially if you don't have range. So using short swords wouldn't really be a good idea, but there are people who do use short swords. Flo is really difficult fighting style to learn and incorporate because of the footwork and just general skill it takes to block shots. Unlike any other fighting style, really, you don't have a point of defense, really. More often than not, you're going to die fighting Flo, and that's something to keep in mind if you get frustrated easily with dying or losing. It's definitely a fighting style that takes a lot of patience to work with and a lot of time, and if you're not the kind of person who has the patience or really likes spending a lot of time to work on one fighting style, then Flo may not be for you. It's really easy to get frustrated with yourself fighting Flo because you're dying so much, sometimes despite your best efforts to address the problem areas. Sometimes you know, yeah, I need to block this shot and I know how to block this shot, but I'm not getting in to block that shot quick enough. And you get frustrated with the fact because you feel like you should be quick enough, but you're not. And that's... patience with yourself is definitely a thing you need to have in order to not completely lose it when you're fighting Flo. Really, the best thing to do as a Flo fighter is to practice a lot of block strike with someone else. Block strike is just simple blocking the other strikes and you striking back. The idea behind block strike is to focus on striking and bringing your guard back up right away so that it's a fluid movement. So just like in baseball, you don't want to stop right when you hit the ball. You want to follow through with your swing. The same concept in Balagarth. But following through with your swing in Balagarth is less about power and more about learning to bring your guard back up right away once you've made your strike. You don't want to swing, hit the person that you want to hit, or hit where you want to hit the person, and then stop right there. Because depending on where you hit, it may not be a kill shot, and you can die right away from that, especially from someone who is a lot more knowledgeable than you. For me personally, sometimes I stop a lot when I'm practicing flow and practicing strikes, because it's this mind trick thing that my mind does, and it's like my mind thinking, oh, there's a body there, I can't swing through because I'm gonna hit this person again. And you don't want to hit this person again once you've hit them. You hit them and they've died. In Balagarth, hitting a person multiple times after they call dead is severely frowned upon because it's basically overkill, and it's also a safety hazard. Once a person calls dead, sometimes they curl up in a ball, especially if you keep hitting them, and you can hit them in the head, and it can be a dangerous thing. So after they call dead, you are supposed to stop swinging at them, and if you don't, a herald will usually come up and tell you, dude, you hit them however many times after they call dead, that's not cool. So yeah, that's the whole thing behind, oh, me stopping when I've hit someone and it was a kill shot. And sometimes it's just me wanting to make sure I place my hits in the spot I wanted to hit them. Sometimes I get really caught up in learning how to get these shots in and to getting these shots into the back or butt, and I stop once they've hit where I wanted to hit, to just think, yes, okay, my swings are good, I got it in the right place, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's kind of a reassurance thing for me, even though it's a reassurance thing for me to do, but it's also really bad practice, because as they say, practice makes permanent. So you want to practice well, you want to practice right. If you practice shots and you keep stopping once you hit the target and not bringing your sword back up to guard, that's not practicing right. That's not practicing a good guard or a good stance at all. And you are gonna die often if you keep stopping. So you always want to bring your guard back up once you've hit someone. Another really good thing to practice is to work angles. As a flow fighter, you have 2 points of attack because you have 2 offenses. That pretty much means you have more angles to use in order to kill someone. Sword and borders can really only go one angle, and that's usually the side that's more open when they're facing their opponent. Because as a sword and border, you're taught you want to keep your sword hand first, your sword foot forward, and then your shield foot backwards, because that's your defensive position. If you're a sword and border and you keep your shield foot forward and your weapon foot back, you're not going to have the range you need to go hit someone, and that you need range. In a sport like Bellegarde, in medieval combat, you want range because you want to have as much advantage and as much opportunity to kill someone. Flow fighters can attack or fake to shield side with one sword and use the other sword to go in for a kill. So that's what I mean by more points of attack, more angles to work with, because it's easier to fake with one sword or both swords and then go in with a different sword than it is to do that for a sword and border. You can't really fake with a shield, but you can try. There are people who push their shield into other people's faces as a way to kill someone, and that is a perfectly valid technique to use as a sword and border. It's also a really good advantage when you're quick on your feet. If you know how to be quick on your feet, then you have an advantage as a flow fighter. For flow fighters and really any fighter in general, it's really helpful to pick up another weapon set and learn how to fight with that, because then you learn more about that weapon and how to fight against it. So for me, I picked up a shield and I fought sword and board. And that, I find that now when I flow fight, it's a lot less frustrating fighting against sword and borders, because I now know points of attack for me as a flow fighter against a sword and border, and where sword and borders would typically be more open. And I learned that through dying many times fighting sword and board, and also getting a lot of kills and sometimes with learning how to stab. That's a pretty important skill, pretty good skill to learn as a sword and border. Because you get really caught up in learning how to swing, and then you forget you can stab people. And when you get the stab in, your thought process is, oh, I can stab, I forgot I did that, but I'm glad I remembered for that one moment and stabbed the person and got a kill. Sometimes stabs are easy to block, so getting a stab in is always a victory. Some of the difficulties fighting a flow, especially when you're first starting out, is getting tangled up in your weapons. Especially when you're closing in on someone, that means getting really close. Getting more into the person's face than your sword range can fit really. There's a lot of reasons why it happens. Sometimes your sword gets trapped between your body and a shield. Other times you're getting tangled up in your own limbs or your garb or your own sword. Other times you're getting tangled up in another person's sword. In that case, sometimes it's really not so much that you're getting tangled up in another person's sword, and it's more of the other fighter using their own sword to hold your sword down and kind of grappling in a way. In Belagarth, this is grappling I've mentioned before. Grappling is basically wrestling with another fighter in order to overpower them or get a hold of their, or to control their weapon and use their own weapon to kill them. Grappling is dangerous because it is wrestling and you're fighting with weapons in hand, and a lot can go wrong with grappling, especially because there is a chance that you can pull or dislocate someone's limb, like their shoulder, because there's a tendency for people to lock their limbs up, especially if they're not experienced in grappling, and that can cause serious injuries. There are rules involving the proper way to grapple, but like Flo, it's a hard thing to learn and to incorporate properly into your skill set when you really have no experience with it. Practice footwork. That's really the basics to being a good Flo fighter, to being a good fighter in general, but especially Flo. One of the first things I learned when I was learning Flo was footwork. My Rift, who was teaching me at the time, he wanted to make sure that I had a good, solid footwork, because without that, you can't fight well. Practice moving backwards and forwards quickly. Practice moving out in angles. Practice always being on the balls of your feet and keeping your knees bent and never heels to the floor, because if your heels are to the floor, like touching the floor, it makes you slower, and you can also hurt your ankles doing that. When you move your front foot, you also want your back foot to move. Good footwork also starts with having a good guard, which means your feet are slightly more than a shoulder width apart, and your knees are slightly bent, and that you are also on the balls of your feet. You never want your heels to be on the ground because, again, you move slower and you can also hurt your ankles. Your front foot should be pointed towards the other fighter. Your front foot is usually your weapon hand. You want your weapon hand and your weapon foot to be facing the other fighter, because it makes no sense if it wasn't. You want your back foot pointed out towards the side, really. And when you move your feet should always be front foot pointing towards the other fighter and back foot pointing out. It's kind of like ballet with the, I forgot what it was called, but when you do that move with your feet pointed out to the sides and you do the little bend, but you're not going to do the little bend. You just want your foot pointed outwards to the side, away from you. Another technique to use is sword matching. This is really helpful, especially as a Flo fighter, because sword matching is, you're matching your sword arms with the other fighter. So let's say the person you're fighting against is right hand. For a Flo fighter, if you're lefty, you will switch so that your right hand is facing the other fighter who is right-handed. Sword matching is a technique that can give you more range, as well as being easier to block, because it closes up your guard, which is what you want. You don't want to have an open guard, because having an open guard means that it will be easier to kill you. So if you're facing a right-handed fighter with your left hand, your torso is open beyond belief and you're gonna die easily. So that's why you sword match, and that's what sword matching is. One final tip for fighting flow. Because you're always going to open up a little bit when you go into swing to kill someone, you want to prevent that from happening as much as possible. You don't want to open up too much because, again, opening up your guard too much means that you're going to die. That means that you don't have a good guard. To prevent from that happening, to prevent from opening up too much, you want to point your sword tips facing inward. So let's say you're fighting flow. Your two swords would be outside lanes, and the middle part of your body will be your outside lanes. So basically anything between your left and your right hand would be inside, and you want the sword tips facing inside. What that looks like really is, if let's say you're holding your sword and you're up in your guard, your hand, your sword hand, your arm, and your elbow would align in a straight line, pretty much. You don't want that to happen. You kind of want to bend your arm a little bit forward and then tilt your wrist inwards so that it's a diagonal line inwards, or it's a diagonal line up, down, if that makes any sense. So that's one thing you can do to prevent your guard from opening up too much. That's also called a vertical guard, and you don't want a vertical guard because you leave your inside open, very, very open. As a final note, flow is a really fun fighting style for me personally, just because it's really easy to feel like you're being this epic hero on a quest in medieval times. I've always been really interested in Lord of the Rings, and I've always been interested in medieval times and sword fighting and all that stuff. So for me, it's really my childhood dreams coming true, and I feel epic, and I feel like I can kick butt. And I don't always have that feeling because people don't take me seriously as a short person because I'm tiny and cute, but being in Belgarth and fighting flow and having these skills is a good kind of positive boost for me in for my ego, just a little bit, because I don't always like to be seen as the cute, tiny person. Sometimes it's just fun to run around the field and be a little annoying, even if you're not doing well as a fighter, if you're dying all the time. If you're annoying people, that's probably a good thing. Probably not, because if you're annoying people because your honor is bad, then no. If you're just annoying people because you're good at killing them, then yeah, that's fun. It's about that time for the show to end. I'm so sorry I couldn't talk to you guys a little bit more. There was so much there. I would have talked to you guys about scenario battles today, but that will be for next show. And I will also be telling you guys a story about bear pits, which you will learn in the next show. But yeah, until then, have a great weekend. Have a great Friday weekend. I hope you guys have been enjoying the weather lately, because it's been very wonderful and warm and not cold and rainy like it was last week. I do know there might be rain this weekend, unfortunately, but yes, all the same, enjoy your weekend. I hope you guys have a good night, and if you're driving somewhere, drive safe. This is DJ Fighter. You were listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.